All right, a continuation from first session. Again, there is no way you go through these verses and figure this out if you don't know certain keys. There are certain keys that unlock this passage and make it understandable. The first one is that Paul is relating his personal experience as a believer. He's not talking about before he was saved. He's talking about a believer who, by using himself as an example, we're not talking about some weak sister believer. We're talking about, you know, a great believer who had this experience. The second key here is, and we'll shift back to the opening verses here, starting with verse 7 in your Bible. there's a play back and forth. He wants to make it clear that there's nothing wrong with the law. And certainly there's, and that means the law in general, and specifically the 10th commandment. The 10th commandment is the one that is featured here exclusively. It is the commandment that prohibits coveting or lusting. You can read it, you're going to read it in Exodus. We'll have it in our notes here coming up. Anyway, the other thing, I'll read and then I'll make quick comments. What shall we say then? Is the law bad? Sin? No. See, here's another way sin is used. For something that is not good. The Greek word is hamartia. And then he makes his usual strong denial, which I like to translate, no way. On the contrary, I would not have come to know the sin nature. He's not talking about individual sins. I imagine as an unbeliever, he knew that stealing and other things were a sin in his religious upbringing. Obviously. He would have known that. People out here know that, use the word sin even from time to time, or crime, or whatever it is, with regard to various activities. On the contrary, I would have not come to know, and this has the idea of understand, the sin nature, except through the law. Okay? He got a lesson on it through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. This is the condensed part of that. It takes the key words out of that verse and doesn't give all of it, because it lists different things that you were not to covet. But the sin nature, taking opportunity through the commandment, the 10th commandment, singular, produced in me coveting or lusting of every kind. And then he adds, this is the way Paul does things. He's one of the more difficult theologians to follow. For apart from the law, sin is dead. The sin nature is dead. Okay, you should be able to, after, this will be our fourth session on this. We start this week, third session. You should be able to piece this together. When you are in fellowship, the sin nature, which still is in you, is neutralized. We'll use the word dead. Inoperative, if you will. It's inoperative, which it should be right now while you're sitting here in Bible class. For apart from the law, sin is dead. When a person first believes in Jesus Christ, for the first time, it's like a solid line. We're ruled by the STA. And when we believe, the line's broken. Because the minute we believe, we are filled with the Spirit, indwelt and filled with the Spirit, and the sin nature is put in its cage. Something's in a cage. It still exists, but it's isolated. The next sin, it's back out and in control of the real you, which is the soul. Which means that you have to understand, we have to understand, that the sin nature is not in the soul. The sin nature is in the genetic code of every person, in every cell of your body. And through the central nervous system and brain, it seeks to impose its agenda on the real you, the soul, so that the volition of the real you, your free will opt for the sin and go with it, whether it's a known sin or an unknown sin. Here, we're just featuring one sin, the sin, a mental attitude sin, the sin of lusting. Christians need to know that mental attitude sins are sins and need to be confessed. Duh. You don't have to do anything overtly. You don't have to follow up on it for it to be a sin. Obviously, the mental attitude sins sponsor the overt sins. So a person commits an overt sin like lying about something, not telling the truth for whatever reasons. That is a verbal sin. Then he says in verse 9, I was once alive apart from the law. This goes back to his conversion, where he became a believer in that room in Damascus, Syria, after the Damascus Road experience. He's on his way to Damascus to imprison Christians. He had papers and authority to arrest Christians, Jewish Christians, etc. And he was on his road. And that's when he was struck down on the Damascus Road, Acts 9. And then, and God spoke to him, the Lord spoke to him, and blinded him. He was blinded. And they had to take him and put him in this room. And he was there for 3 days. I recall correctly. He was there for 3 days so he could think this all through. Because, see, prior to his salvation, he was fighting against this. He was being prodded because he had positive volition under that exterior, this religious fanatic exterior. He had positive volition. And things were beginning to put pressure on his soul. The martyrdom of Stephen and other things. So he goes up to Damascus, and everyone's afraid of him. All the Christians are afraid of him because this guy will arrest you and throw you in jail and worse. Now, Jewish Christians. So he is in Damascus in a room, and one believer, no one could believe. Paul will never come around. Saul will never come around. He's a maniac. Well. That maniac came around, and in his room, he's thinking through all that he's experienced up to this point, and what Jesus said to him on the Damascus Road out of heaven, and only he could hear it. And the group that was with him, it was all blotted out from them. He gets up there, and he's there for 3 days. And one believer, I forgot his name, he goes in and talks to him. He gets his eyesight back. He's a believer. And immediately, the authorities there are trying to get him and kill him because he's a traitor. I mean, he gets persecuted. He doesn't even get to take a breath. And they're after his life. So they have to lower him down, the indignity of it all. They have to lower him down the city walls at night in a basket to escape the authorities. And he flees to Mount Sinai. It's quite a trip. So it was Paul who, and he always carried a lot of papers and stuff with him. And I would imagine scripture and other stuff. Didn't have a neat little Bible like we have today. That came a lot later. But anyway, he's there. And at some point, I don't know, you can't determine from this when this, his first experience with, because, see, he's going to revisit the Old Testament. He has the thing darn near memorized. I wouldn't say literally, but he really knows it. Well, he didn't really know it. He had it all up wrong. But But now he's going to look at it as a, with new eyes as a believer. And begin to, because there's no New Testament. He's going to look at this and start figuring stuff out. So when he says in verse 9, I was once alive apart from the law, he's talking about being in fellowship. He didn't get in fellowship by doing the law. He got in fellowship by believing in Jesus Christ, and I'm alive. I'm in fellowship. This wasn't told you when you got saved. You were told you were saved. You're told you got eternal life. You're told your sins were forgiven, blah, blah, blah. And and hopefully you were told that you can't lose it. You can't mess it up. Personal sins and not doing the will of God does not mess this, overturn this. It's yours forever. But you probably weren't told about the fellowship aspect and how to perpetuate it. That you can lose fellowship and regain it. Not salvation, lose fellowship. When I'm out of fellowship, then I'm dead. My STA is alive and active, or alive. And when I'm in fellowship, I'm alive and my STA is dead. Now, it's that simple going through this. It is, what I said, an absolute. There's no in-between ground. Sort of in fellowship, sort of no. It's 100%. You're in, or 100% you're out. Whatever you're doing during the day, just a sorry mental attitude can get you feeling sorry for yourself. Or somebody said something. Or some jerk doesn't know how to drive. And it sets you off. Oh, is that familiar? Instead of, there's jerks out here who don't know how to drive. I have to live with it or not drive. I was once alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, 10th, sin became alive and I died. Of all things that stirred up his 10th commandment, it was reading the Bible. Specifically, the last of the commandments. Fired up his STA. It took an opportunity. You shall not engage in lusting. The different categories. Boom. So if it happened when he was in that period of isolation and training, if it happened then or subsequent to that, I don't know. He doesn't give us the history of it. And this commandment, which was result in life, proved to result in death for me. For, verse 11, the sin nature, he repeats, the sin nature, taking an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me. Whenever we sin, we experience a moment of self-deception. The STA fakes us out. Your best interest is to do that. That's the idea. Do that. The STA pushes its agenda against the soul. The verse in Peter, that fleshly lusts wage war against the soul. Now we know what a war is. You've got two parties that are in a battle. That's a war. And the STA is seeking to dominate the soul. And we have other verses that says that we have two opposite entities indwelling us. We have the Holy Spirit that wants to lead us to do the right thing, and we have this sin nature that wants to push us in the other direction. And over this is the soul that makes the decision to go this way or that way. All the time. Now we'll exclude for a minute people that aren't taught and I didn't know that was a sin. Well, it is. In fact, you didn't know it was a sin. It's still a sin. Maybe someone has a bad habit of complaining about everything. Some people are extremes. They say, you're around this person, they're always complaining. I mean, not always, but it's a regular feature of them. Something doesn't go right. Well, that's a sin of the tongue. starts with a mental attitude, and it's a sin of the tongue. I catch myself doing it. You have to rebound. Put a stop to it. For the sin nature, taking an opportunity through the commandment, verse 11, deceived me, and through it, killed me. Ask Christians, what does that mean? The STA fakes out the real you, and the real you falls for it's the pressure it puts on you. And again, the STA can be stirred up by anything. You'd be on a desert island and your STA is stirred up. You could be anywhere. You don't have to be in the presence of things that fire up your lust pattern. Sex lust, materialism lust, power lust, and approbation lust. Kissinger said, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. He ought to know. You get them in a church, they want to run the church. They got a power trend. It might be sponsored because they're jealous of the pastor and the love that people have for him, and they see this. I've had it with these. I've seen it. I've observed it. You want to envy me? You're kidding me. The real culprit is the STA. So then, the law is holy, the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. The law in its totality is good. The Old Testament law, there is nothing wrong with it. People like him abused it, and they do it to this day by making an instrument of salvation instead of an instrument to lead you to salvation. And then after the fact, for the Jew to teach him how to live as a good descendant of Abraham before God. Therefore, he asked the question, therefore did that which is good, what is that? The 10th commandment. Become a cause of death for me? Are we to lay the blame at the foot of the 10th commandment and it shouldn't even been in there? Well, that's ludicrous. Otherwise, we couldn't tell people that they're not to engage in the mental attitude sin of lusting. And then he uses his, may it never be, no way. Rather, it was the sin nature. See, if you have that little key, you're on your way to understanding this. So you can read Romans 7 now in the future and understand it and not say, what's that? Rather, it was the sin nature because it has the definite article. As I told you, my thinking, I understood rebound from the time I got on doctrine. You're in fellowship or you're out. You've got to rebound your sins. I understood that. But as I told you, I didn't understand the nature of the sin nature. I really did not. So one of the first books I tried to teach was Romans, and I hit a wall. And I dropped it. It's the only book I dropped. And went somewhere else. But later, through another pastor, found out that the sin nature, it was hidden in plain sight. That's why, among the other synonyms, it's called the flesh. And it's in this chapter, in my flesh dwells no good thing. What the hell is he talking about? He's talking about the sin nature is in the cells, in the genes of your body. And it gets through your central nervous system to your brain, to your soul, to try to continue. Where'd that thought come from? The sin nature, it's a war. Sometimes it's a hot war, and the temptation is great. And sometimes it's a cold war. You're not always being fired up. It drives you nuts. But it's there. It's the inner conflict. We have this war in the angelic conflict between the flesh, which you pack around wherever you're at, the flesh, the world out there, the general world, and what it's marching to, good and bad, and the devil. Those are your three enemies. And we're dealing with this one, the flesh, the STA. It'll be your undoing as a believer, or you will prevail and make it to the end because you'll use rebound, you'll reestablish yourself. But you get locked in to certain type of STA stuff and you won't cough it up, it could be anything. It'll bring you down. And when I say down, I mean you won't like the Bema event. Not a bit. Whether it was a sin nature in order that might be shown to be sin by affecting my death through that which is good, so that through the commandment, the sin nature would become utterly sinful. Okay. All right. Now what I want to do here is, this is a short summary. I got ahead of myself. Therefore, did that which was good become a cause of death for me? And then he denies that. Then he says, rather it was the sin nature. And then, in order that it might be shown to be sin by affecting my death, I'm out of fellowship. That's what he means by my death. Through that which is good. You say, well, this is law, this is redundant. Yes, it is. So that through the commandment, the tenth, the sin nature would be utterly sinful. What's that mean? Well, that's what I'm supposed to explain, isn't it? Utterly is the noun hyperbole. Means to cast beyond something. Throw beyond. Translate utterly, that's fine. Sinful is an adjective, harmatolos. The sin nature would become utterly sinful. For we know, we Christians, the law is spiritual. It's pneumatikos, it's spiritual information. But I am of flesh. That is the inherited STA. Inherited through no fault of yours or mine. The STA, it's a part of the birth package. We come on the scene with that STA. Thanks to Adam and Eve and the stunt they pulled back in the garden, our original two parents. And they got into that because they disobeyed the singular commandment of all that they were not to do. They had one negative commandment. That there's that tree over there. It wasn't an ugly tree. I bet it was pretty. I bet it was very attractive. And it had fruit. It was a fruit-bearing tree. Don't ingest the fruit. You can look at it. You can touch it. You can hug the tree. You can lay down under it. But you can't eat the fruit, because if you eat the fruit, it's going to affect you in a negative way. And that's where they got their death gene and their STA gene. And they started acting out their STA immediately. And then they were open targets for the devil after the fact. He told them, what are you doing running around here naked? Cover yourselves up. Man and a woman, husband and wife. You need to put on these. So they made these fig aprons they patched together. Pathetic. See, the devil's world. They're in the devil's world now. There's only two of them. They're in the devil's world and they're putty in his hands. Once they succumbed, well, Eve was the first leader into this. She gave him the time of day. When people come to you and they're not saying the right stuff, don't give them the time of day. You don't have to be rude, but you don't have to listen. There's times to just walk off. Get away from it. I don't care if it is your relative. What's that mean? It means nothing. Oh, it's my sister. What? That means nothing. This is my mother. That means nothing. If they're not talking the truth, then it's nothing. I don't mean to be rude. People take that, say, oh, you're... No. If they're trying to sell you something, a bad product, you walk off. Walk away. That person's not interested, at least not now. Maybe someday they'll wake up. But I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. Okay. I am flesh, sarkinos, which is also be translated carnal. I am of flesh, sold, and this is the word perfect passive participle, piprosko, means to sell something to the sin nature. Definite article, huper, under the sin nature. One. Paul, in stronger language, asserts the fact that the law is not the culprit, but is holy and righteous and good, as it came directly from God to the nation of Israel at Sinai. Two, the law mirrors God's perfect righteousness. What would we know about God's righteousness if we didn't know the law? That he's against this, he's against that, and he's for this, and he's for that. That's how we know his character. The Tenth Commandment was designed to curb STA lusting. Four, the commandment itself addresses sex lust, another man's wife, materialism lust, anything another possesses, such as, back then, a house, servants, an ox, or a donkey. You can read it in Exodus 20:17. Verse 13 expands on the theme that the law is not to blame, but rather the indwelling STA. Six, the first line in verse 13 asserts the blame for Paul's lusting is not the law. Seven, he categorically denies this with another meganoito. Eight, if the law were to blame, then there would be no way for God to tell us what not to engage in. Nine, he goes on in verse 13 to lay the blame where it should be assigned. Rather, it was the sin nature. Ten, while it is true that the STA took advantage of the exposure to the Tenth Commandment, the STA is the source of temptation, resulting in Paul's temporal death. 11. The STA has a mind of its own. I cannot emphasize that enough. You can't just decide one day I'm going to get over it. There isn't something you can take to neutralize it. The only thing you can do to help blunt it is pile on more Bible doctrine and keep the scripture in front of you. The STA has a mind of its own. And it's not your fault that it has a mind of its own. You may have went with it again and again, and of course that's your fault because you went with it, but it's there. 12. And see, this goes in the face of certain types of Christian teaching that I was exposed to. I don't know about you. Now that you're a Christian, here's the line, paraphrasing. Now that you're a Christian, you won't desire to do those things. And then we'll take a verse and hit you over the head with it. You're a new creature in Christ. But no one takes that to its logical conclusion. All right, sir, preacher, reverend, does that mean that in my case or your case, that when you got saved, you're never going to sin again? Did it just sort of take it away? Did it just numb it a little bit? No. It didn't affect the STA one whit. It didn't curb it and reform it because, as we see at the end of the verse, it's utterly sinful. You probably heard the expression, total depravity of man. Total depravity relates to the STA. Now, a lot of people out here, they're smart enough not to just run with all of it because they don't want to be dead or in prison. Okay? They've got some establishment norms and standards, and as an unbeliever is a righteous guy. They're going to play by the rules. But they still have a sin nature. Some people are real proud of their righteousness. So pride is their problem. I'm good enough. I don't do this and this and this. I'm a man of my word, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's all good, but the fact is, you're full of pride. And pride if you want to look it up, see what the Bible has to say about it. In verse 13, it is to be noted that 1, the STA works through that which is good. 2, the end result is that the STA is shown for what it is, the agent of temporal death. And 3, the total depravity of the STA is that it is not dissuaded, that should be one bit, in the face of the commandment, but is, as Paul says, utterly sinful. Utterly sinful. Like I said, some people in the human race run with it like crazy. In one of the areas of lust. They're just with all the overt that follows off of it. But it's still utterly sinful. And of course, we see it expressed in people in a lot of ways. Rude behavior. Just, you look at it, this isn't the way someone's supposed to greet you when you walk into a business. What's wrong with this woman? Well, maybe she's having a bad day. But maybe that's the way she is all the time. She walks around with malice and an attitude. I ran into one the other day. I wanted to get a couple of batteries for a watch. What's wrong with this woman? I mean, it was real like, I wouldn't want to be around you very long. The Greek is the preposition kata with the accusative noun hyperbole plus the adjective harmatolos. Hence the doctrine of total depravity as it applies to the believer. Thank you, Father, for the day together and the fellowship we've had in the Word and with each other. Be with us as we go forth from here that we might bear fruit and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.